Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, welcome to the Football Writers Podcast. My name's Mike Calvin. I'm joined by John Cross of the Daily Mirror and Adrian Clark of thepremierleague.com. Will the real Manchester City please stand up? Are they the team which won 10 straight or the team without a win in three? We'll probably find out at the Camp Nou. They've lost four times to Barca in 3 years. Any different this time, John?
I can't see it, no. I do think there's a lot of emotion attached to the game, clearly, with Guardiola going back. I know it's not his first time back, but I do think it will be a wonderful occasion for him. I think he'll be determined to set up City in a way that they try and get a result, and by which, I mean, I find it impossible to believe that he'd go there to defend solely. So I do think he'll be ambitious with his lineup, but I think every time you see Barcelona, I think that the wonderful thing about them is they're so rarely a crack under pressure. They always perform. I mean, the front three is on fire again. And listen, I thought it was fascinating to see what Guardiola's assertion that La Liga was just as competitive and the Premier League, it's a myth that it's more intense than other leagues, because I just don't see it like that. I think Barcelona were able to rest and rotate, substitute players early, like Suarez on you know, at the weekend, for example, because that's the luxury that they're in. They're a much further developed team. I think they're much further down the line than Man City. Man City is a work in progress under Guardiola, and I think it's a very daunting prospect. So, in answer to the original question, I can only see one winner, and that's Barcelona.
What have we learned about Pep so far, Adrian, do you think?
Well, how much tactical variety he's got and how willing he is to experiment and try new things. I think that's the most impressive part of his start at the Etihad. It's the way that he's made the players rethink about the way they play the game, and he's got instant results in terms of performance levels. I mean, it's not so much the formations that he's picking, it's the jobs that he's asking different players to do. They're so different, really, to what went before under Pellegrini.
Well, Saturday against Everton's a case in point, isn't it? You've got Sterling and Sane, basically wing-backs. You're playing very wide.
For me, that's not the future for Sane and Sterling. But the way he wants to play is to have five defensive players and five attacking players, and he wants to monopolise the ball. The problem with Guardiola, he's brilliant. He's an innovative coach. But if he's got a fault, it's that sometimes he can try and be too clever for his own good. And I think if he tries to tinker too much, then City could slip up at times this season. And I don't know if I would be going to the Nou Camp with Sterling and Sane as the wing-backs. I think that would be a very risky game to play. They want to monopolise the ball. They will create chances against Barcelona. But will they hog possession? I can't see it. Do they have good enough defensive players to cope with the front three? Not in my view.
It was interesting listening to Andres Iniesta talking about Raheem Sterling, and there was real respect in his view of him. You know, you've seen Sterling, John, with his high points and his low points. What's your gauge of where he is at the moment?
I think he's in a really good place under Guardiola. I think he'll develop as a player. I think he's strengthened physically. I think he's strengthened mentally. I thought what was interesting was, and albeit just watching extended highlights, every time I looked to see City pressing on the box, it seemed to me that sort of Sterling, in his role on Saturday, as Adrian was mentioning, a virtual ring-back, basically, was on the periphery of attacks. And I just don't think that was getting the best out of him. He didn't seem to be joining in. And I think that's more of a fault of the system than the player. I also think, I wonder whether actually we'll see the best of him on Wednesday night, simply because is he going to be fully fit, having pulled out the England squad? But I think that he's got so much potential, and I think it's going to be, I think, unlocked under Guardiola.
On paper, it makes sense in a way to get as many attacking players on the pitch as possible. And you think, OK, we're going to have the ball. Sterling's going to, OK, he's wing-back, but he's really a winger. The issue is, I've been a winger that's been used as a wing-back. Didn't go brilliantly, I've got to say. But having nobody behind you just can play on your mind a little bit. And as you rightly point out, it makes you just hold back. And you don't want Raheem Sterling 1v1 against the Barcelona wide players, do you, at all?
And Aguero... Mm-hmm. Perfect player, apart from penalties.
He's missed a few, hasn't he? But he's a class act. And he was obviously safe for this game.
And he's the sort of player who'd respond to the Nou Camp, isn't he?
Look, I think City are sensational going forward. They are almost as good as Barcelona going forward, in my view. Wonderful. De Bruyne is just a fabulous footballer. And the interchanging, the movement, the fluidity, cohesion of all the attacks... is outstanding. It's without the ball. What are City good enough to go deep into the Champions League when they don't have the ball? At the moment, they're a million miles away from that.
It's interesting, Luis Enrique is also experimenting. He played 3-5-2 when they beat Depo 4-0 at the weekend. What type of setup do you think they'll have against City?
I do think they'll go a little bit more traditional, and I do feel that they'll go out to win this game with a more traditional lineup.
And they'll want to beat Pep, won't they?
Well, they will want to beat Pep. And I think it's so important, I think, for his own confidence, I think, Luis Enrique, because we haven't seen them consistently brilliant under him. I think they've reached some great heights, but I don't think that they've dominated, I don't think, in Europe or domestically in the way that we felt that they would. They've produced some brilliant individual performances. I mean, absolutely breathtaking attacking displays, particularly in Europe last season when they were great to watch. I mean, I remember watching, the Arsenal game, for example, and Celtic. I know people might say, well, it was Celtic. Make no mistake, they were awesome in that game. They were absolutely fantastic. And they always find a nice rhythm. But I do think that they will be a little bit more open, a little bit more expansive. They won't fear this game, and they will play through midfield and create so many chances, I think, for that front three. I think it's incredibly difficult, daunting task for City in front.
And speaking of awesome, Messi, 12 years he's been there now. It was his 12th anniversary last weekend, 29 trophies. He's back from injury. Back with a bang?
Well, yeah, it would appear so. And he's just a class act. He's just an amazing player, hands down.
Is he the best ever?
Hands down, the greatest player of all time. I don't think it's even close. Obviously, Pele, it wasn't from my era. I've seen the DVDs and when I was a kid, loved watching Pele. But in terms of my lifetime, understanding the game, he's so much better than anybody else, including Cristiano, who's great in his own right as a powerful, athletic, modern-day footballer. But Messi is the most gifted, most natural footballer we've ever seen. And who is going to be able to stop him in this game? I look at the City side and, you can't make plans for Messi, can you? I can just see him wreaking havoc.
Yeah, what do you think, John? Because I'm a bit of a Maradona man myself. Basically because I'm an old codger, he had to me... There was a vivacity about him, but there was that self-destruct button which he pressed on a fairly regular basis. What about you? Because Messi, is he the perfect player?
He's a wonderful player. He's got amazing individual technique. But I do categorise him as a team player. And that's not a bad thing. But it's just, I think, when we talk about individuals and great individuals of the past, I look upon the Diego Maradona, for example, as the most incredible player. Because in the 1986 World Cup...
The force of nature.
Yeah. And basically, I thought the quarterfinalists were on a level. There was one thing that made Argentina different. And obviously... ultimately world champions, and that's Maradona. He could go out and win games on his own, and he would give them that lift. And for me, why I choose, when they were both at their peak, Ronaldo over Messi, is because he had that ability. Yeah, I do. I do.
Ronaldo?
I go for Cristiano Ronaldo. Right. over Messi. I do, right. Because I think as an individual, purely as an individual, I think he could have, in his day, and I'm not saying that day is anymore, but for both Real Madrid and Portugal, go and win games on his own. And I just feel that Messi didn't have that quite.
It's different when you play for Barcelona. It's different. Maradona was playing for an average Napoli team, an average Argentina, and lifted them to the heights. I think that was a special achievement in its own right, and an achievement that Maradona won't ever have the chance to try and replicate because he's playing in a great team already.
So,
hasn't he though with Argentina in major tournaments? That would be my. Yeah. That would be. I know it's become a bit of a cliche and Messi in major tournaments and player of the tournament. I mean, do me a favour last time out. But I just think with Messi, if he's that amazing, and he truly is, obviously. Yeah. But he goes and wins Argentina tournaments, and he hasn't done that.
The thing about Messi, you know, he's playing, as is Ronaldo, in a really pressurised environment. You have to be world-class every week. Barcelona get through managers on a fairly rapid lick. A lot of talk about Ronald Koeman being a potential Barca manager. What do you think about that?
I think he's pointing himself in that direction. I think he is taking very obvious steps, moving into the Premier League, doing a fine job at Southampton. Then he's taken a step to the next level. And without doubt, I feel that at some point in his career, there will be an opportunity for him to manage, as an ex-player, Barcelona.
Yeah,
because I just think it also fits the philosophy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think he plays the way that Barcelona see it. I think he obviously fits the football club because he has that connection with them. He's doing a wonderful job. Everton. I know, you know, I think he's seen, I think, as a mix of old school, because he doesn't, I don't think, embrace everything about science and about kind of the way to move forward. And sometimes he's regarded as being a bit old school in that regard. But at the same time, you can see his tactics and his individual coaching
and his disciplinarian instincts as well.
He's intelligent tactically. I'd say he's right up there in the top three in terms of tactical brain power in the Premier League. But he's got that ruthless streak. And I love that about him. He's not afraid to make dramatic changes, be it at half-time or early in the second half. And I think that sets him apart from a lot of the other guys.
He will either make Ross Barkley or he'll break him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I just don't... I still don't think he's sure about Ross Barkley and where he can fit into the Everton team, really. I think it's down to Ross to go back to basics a little bit, simplify his game a touch, and start again almost, because at the moment he's neither an effective number 10 or a proper box-to-box midfielder. He's losing the ball so often, Ross Barkley. And I think, well, we saw it with Koeman. He's not having it, is he?
No.
He will not tolerate it.
No. Elsewhere in the group, Celtic, Borussia Mönchengladbach. I was quite frankly surprised they drew with City. You were there. Give me a flavour of what a European night is like.
It's incredibly intense. It's overwhelming. It's intimidating. It's so loud. There's no doubt about it. Some of those City players have played in incredible atmospheres and incredible occasions. But I just feel that some of them were affected by it because of the incredible atmosphere that absolutely breathed life into Celtic, who have, let's be honest here, have had some ups and downs both domestically and in Europe this season. Obviously, the previous game got absolutely battered by Barcelona, but they were able to reach an incredible height. They've got a really special player in Dembélé. He's going to reach the top, in my view. He's going to be a Premier League star in the future, you know, because I think he will come south. But I think he's got in Brendan Rodgers, a brilliant manager who can develop him. But the other thing that really struck me was the intensity and the speed with which they played and their pressing game within the first 20 minutes. That was so reminiscent of Liverpool under Brendan Rodgers when they went so close to winning the title. It's the hallmark of a Rodgers team. Yeah. That, together with that incredible atmosphere, gives them such an intensity, such an energy, which I believe can result in a huge upset. If everything comes together and they play as well as they did against Man City, against Mönchengladbach, they can win the game.
Because in essence, and I know this will probably upset a few people north of the border, what people like Dembélé, who I agree with you, is going to be a heck of a player, and Rodgers are doing, they're in a very big shop window, the Champions League, and basically they're playing to go south again, aren't they?
Quite possibly. I do think Brendan Rodgers is enhancing his reputation at Celtic. We knew he was a good coach already, but that was a wonderful managerial performance against Manchester City. Celtic have got no right to be drawing with Man City player for player. They're not in the same division. And you're bang on. I think they are a championship team, really, Celtic, if they don't play with that tempo and intensity, and if the atmosphere isn't right, they're championship level. With the two, with that unbelievable pressing, the high octane style and the noise, they can compete with the very best. We've seen that now. But Rodgers, I think, is going to get some big jobs in the future. He's a really good coach.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're both at Arsenal at the weekend. They're playing Ludo Goretz in the Champions League. You did a really good piece for my so-so.
Oh, thank you very much.
On Walcott.
Yeah.
If you look at him as an England player, does he get inferior service to the service that he gets at Arsenal?
I think he's playing in a certainly different way. I think he's developed this season under Wenger, and I do think he does get inferior service. There cannot be a coincidence. It's not just Theo Walcott doing it at his club and then not doing it at England. I'm kind of sick and tired of people sort of saying, oh, why can't he produce that form? We need to be looking at why England can't get the best out of form players and replicate form in England shirts of those players that are doing it week in and week out in the Premier League. There must be a reason. I think it's partly, obviously, extenuating circumstances at the moment. 3 managers in 3 months. Roy Hodgson didn't even take him to the Euros. Allardyce just had him as a substitute. Gareth Southgate now clearly fancies him. We've known that. He always put a lot of store in him when it was under 21 manager. But I think what has taken Theo Walcott on a bit this season is getting a personal trainer in the summer. He's stronger. You can see that. He really is much physically stronger. He's playing a slightly different role. He's slightly tucked in. And it's not just your out-and-out right winger. And I think the way he tracks back gives Bellerin protection. He works much harder. He should have scored a hat-trick, but in his defence, he scored twice. One showed amazing strength, the other one was a poacher's finish. And then I do actually think, in the latter part of the game, he chased every ball down, every defender down. Mm. He's working much better, and I think it's a challenge for England to utilise that talent.
So if he's physically stronger, yeah, is he psychologically stronger?
Definitely. It looks like Walcott's been taking angry pills. He's so much more aggressive now. It's lifted his game from one level to a different plane. It really has. It's that much of a difference. It's a perfect storm. He's got Hector Bellerin behind him, who I think the combination between those two works beautifully, because Theo is coming inside into a pocket and then Hector is coming on the outside. That's working beautifully. Alexis up top is the perfect striker for Theo Walcott because he won't stay there. Not like Olivier Giroud, a brick wall that just bounces passes off him. Alexis comes short all the time, and that's just tailor-made for Theo to make those runs in behind. Those are two reasons. The third is the type of football Arsenal are playing this season. It's quicker. And it has to be, because you've got Alexis up front. They need to pass between the lines much, much faster. And when Arsenal move the ball quickly, that is when Theo's runs are rewarded. And it's a perfect storm for him. And Arsenal have just got to keep it up. If Arsenal keep up their form, I believe Theo will.
Mm. Best balanced Arsenal side since the Invincibles?
I mean, they've gone close in the past. They should have won it in 2008. Arguably, so it's always difficult to say, but I think yes, arguably yes. I do think that they've got a really good mix, and I think Mustafi's been a great signing. I think he's got a great sort of kind of.
He's a character. Yeah, he gets people going, doesn't he? And I think him and Koscielny are centre forward's worst nightmare in a way. They'll make mistakes because they're aggressive and they want to get tight. But as we saw with the handling of Costa was, I think, a seminal moment in Arsenal's season. Arsenal always get bullied by Costa. But those two took it upon themselves to dish out the bullying themselves, and it worked. Mm. And I think now they've found a blueprint there. They can do that. They should no longer be afraid to mix it with any front pair or individual striker. They're a good partnership in the making.
Wenger had the begging bowl out after the game, didn't he? You know, can you give me a bank so I can sort out Ozil's wage demands? Yeah. Johnny Northcroft was here last week, and he said it is absolutely essential that Arsenal keep him. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, he's just brilliant. I mean, we see a lot of him. And basically, I still think somewhere from deep within, some people who don't see Arsenal regularly just do not understand how good he is. And they're still relying on that kind of difficult first season, if you like, really. He has gone on to a completely different level. It's amazing. And they must keep him, mustn't they? I mean, I think he will.
Yeah, Ozil is good enough, or has the potential to be in Arsenal's best ever 11. He's really good. Absolutely.
I'll put him in my best Wenger 11.
Yeah. Well,
he's amazing.
He is right up there. He's a footballer. He's just a dream to play with. I wish I could have played with Mesut Ozil. I was lucky enough to play with Dennis, who was brilliant. But Mesut Ozil is a dream. They do have to pay the money. I think he would like to stay. When I see his body language, he just looks at home. I think he's happy. The team is built around his strengths. The only reason that he wouldn't stay, I think, is for financial reasons. Arsenal just have to match what other clubs would be prepared to pay him, and they won't want to do it, but you got to.
Mm. What about Tottenham, John? They're at Bayer Leverkusen. They've got to deal with injuries, really, for the first time. That defence, Alderweireld, looks like a relatively serious knee injury by the look of things. Have they got the depth to excel in this competition?
Yes, because I think Wimmer will come in and again take up the mantle. I mean, they've also obviously got the option with Dier, then you can use Wanyama where possible. But I think you've got to look to Wimmer in that situation. In fairness to him, I think people thought that they might drop off in form last season when Vertonghen got injured. Mm. Wimmer came in and actually had a decent run of form, which made you think, oh, not missing Vertonghen after all. I think the difference is that Alderweireld is the absolute defensive kingpin. There's few better defenders or centre-halves than him in the Premier League. Together with Vertonghen, brilliant pairing, and that's the difference. That's why they're missing. But I think Wimmer will be good individually.
Alderweireld's distribution is undervalued as well as part of this Tottenham team. No one in the Premier League, no centre-half, can ping a crossfield pass to a fullback better than he can. And that forms such a key part of Tottenham's strategy. So yeah, he'll be missed, but Bimmer's a good player. The Spurs are just solid, aren't they? I mean, tactically, they are
a sound. Defensively, they're absolute beast, aren't they?
They are beast. And in the, down the middle of the pitch, they're really strong. And I like what Pochettino has done with his midfield configuration. It makes sense to go 4-1-4-1. And he's got Wanyama or Dier. Dembele isn't needed as much. He was so much of a reliance on him last year. They don't need him anymore, even though he's a great player. So you've got his sport for choice in those two attacking midfield positions. You know, Dembele, Eriksen, so many, Ali, so many options for him. But yeah, they're a really solid team. But they ain't going away.
No, they're not. And I think Dembele is a really interesting one. I think Dembele is one of the most underrated players in Premier League. Up there with the top three midfielders from last season. Mm. We've not seen the best of him yet, simply this season, because obviously he's missed a huge chunk of it and is yet to hit his kind of level, having come back from that extended suspension. He will give Spurs even more bite. Spurs, I think, can win the league
this
season.
They remind me of Leicester. Leicester in regards to their team ethic. They just don't gift you anything. Oh, the old Leicester, not the current one. They just don't gift you anything. And I mean, they could have stuffed West Brom, couldn't they? They could, but for Ben Foster, they should have had a hat for. I think in the last Champions League game in Moscow, they tore CSKA apart. I mean, it could have been any score, really. So yeah, they will be there or thereabouts in the Premier League. I can see them, if they get the luck of the draw, going quite far in this competition. The Wembley factor is just the one hurdle to overcome, isn't it?
Yeah. You're at Leicester on Tuesday night, John. What has happened to them? No organisation, no motivation. Where are they going?
I think there's major problems there. And I do think that last season, they built a whole season about doing the basics right. And they've completely forgotten that. I think Wes Morgan is defending on the first goal. We didn't do that once all season last year, and he left Costa alone. I think Drinkwater hasn't quite reached. And you do wonder whether someone like the Drinkwater that we're seeing at the moment, admittedly, he's been out, you know, he's just come back from injury, which forced him out of England contention. But basically, is he going to reach last season's levels on a consistent basis? You know, kind of, you almost feel, well, will the real Drinkwater stand up? Vardy is now, what, seven without? And basically, I think Vardy's still making runs and still showing a hunger and a desire, but he hasn't got someone playing alongside him like Okazaki last season. Ulloa, you know, as well did it, who will feed him, who will hold the ball up, get ball into feet and then turn and look for Vardy on the sprint and on the turn. That's missing. I think sometimes, you know, managers, I think when you have a level of success, you can try and take the next step too quickly. Mm. And in some of those signings, that would appear to me, they're obviously missing Kante, but I do think that the Ranieri's maybe tried to run before he can walk in those sort of terms.
What about Mahrez? Mm. Because there's that link doesn't exist anymore with Vardy, does it?
Yeah, no, I wrote a piece for Premier League ahead of that game. In three away games, or all their away games, Mahrez found Vardy two times the whole season. The last two away games, prior to Stamford Bridge, Mahrez didn't find Vardy with a single pass. And what's going on there? Other teams are clearly wisened up to the threat that Mahrez poses, and Vardy, of course. And I think Slimani, I think you're right to touch on that. Okazaki, it wasn't so much that Okazaki fed Vardy, it was just the nuisance factor of Okazaki distracted opposition teams to such an extent that it creates space for Vardy. Now, Slimani, in a way, is a he's a proper centre-forward. He wants to go in the areas where Vardy wants to go. So, in essence, he's getting half as many opportunities. And actually, when I looked at the stats, it is almost that. His conversion rate is the same as it was last year, Vardy. He's just getting half as many opportunities. It's actually, he is the foil for Slimani. He has teed up Slimani several times. Vardy, has he got it back? Has he had that reciprocated? Nah. Mm. So there's a combination of things here.
So shall we start the rumour Vardy for Arsenal now? Then,
oh, I don't know what he thinks. I mean, you know, it's...
Would he be on the bench at Arsenal now, wouldn't he, with Alexis? But yeah. It's funny how things turn out, because he may well have been the primary striker at Arsenal if he'd have gone. And Alexis might not have had his chance to go up top. Mm. It is strange how it works out. But, I mean, the pair of them, they must be looking at it now thinking, oh, maybe I should have gone while I had the chance.
Well, I don't think for Mahrez, I don't think it was for the want of trying. I mean, it's fascinating to see, you know, sort of him say kind of, oh, I was sort of tapped up by this. Well, I have to say, from what I hear, there's only one person doing the tapping up, and that was Mahrez's legion of agents trying to get him a move. Yeah. And he's eventually worked for him because he signed a, you know, new contract. But, you know, I think the sooner Ranieri gets back to those kind of basics, and he's doing it in the Champions League, by the way, it could virtually qualify, you know, with another win. And, you know, that's fantastic. Maybe that's the adventure they need.
Yeah. If Leicester are developing players, perhaps for other clubs, that's what Southampton do, isn't it? Now, they're unbeaten in seven, a Europa League game at Inter.
Yes.
They're going right under the radar, aren't they?
I think so, yeah. I rate them. I like the new manager. I think he's at Claude Puel's fairly seamless transition again. They're defensively rock solid. He builds from a solid platform. I think Virgil van Dijk is a really underrated player.
Another one who basically got in the shop window at Celtic.
Yeah. He came from Celtic. People, is he good enough for the Premier League? Yeah, he is good enough. He's easily good enough to play for a number of the top sides. I mean, you compare his performances to that of Wes Morgan this season, it should be Virgil van Dijk in the Champions League and not Morgan, based on their current form. So now they're solid, they play lovely football. I think Dusan Tadic, with others leaving, Mane in particular, I think it's just paved the way for him to be their main man now.
Created 22 chances in his first seven games.
That wasn't the case before. He was always on the periphery, used out wide. He's got this free role. And I think he's a class act, Dusan Tadic. I think he's a really creative player. And, Southampton, again, they're going to be easily top 10, aren't they? Mm. And I believe they'll beat Inter Milan. Inter Milan have been pretty poor in Europe so far this season. I don't think they're taking it seriously. This could be a really good night down at St Mary's. I think they'll enjoy themselves.
And what about Charlie Austin, John? You know, 7 goals in 6 games. People poo-poo him a bit and talk about his, you know, biscuit kneecaps and stuff like that. He is a very, very good striker by anyone's imagination, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is. What I like more than anything about him is the way that he's responded, because there were clear doubts. I mean, if you look at him for injuries and form, I thought, oh, he's actually not going to make it at Southampton, because he was just a figure on the periphery, really. Even at the start of the season, he was struggling to kind of justify his place in the team. When he's had the opportunity and actually grasped it, I think, originally, and took it really well in Europa League, I think he's just shown his worth. He's got a desire and a hunger. I mean, he's got an insatiable appetite for goals. I mean, by the way, the header that Tom Heaton kept out early on was just the save of the season.
Save, wasn't it?
Incredible. Absolutely remarkable. And I do think that he's just a good old-fashioned striker. Yeah. And he was called up for England, wasn't he, at the same time as Vardy. He didn't quite crack on, but I wonder whether, in the absence of too many options up front at the moment, whether they'll have another look at him. My suspicion is probably not, but I'd like to see them have a look, maybe, in the experimental. They've got one, you know, a friendly against Spain, so why not?
Yeah. The other Europa League tie, Manchester United, will they take that seriously? OK, they're playing Fenerbahce. Yeah. surely they'll be concentrating on the domestic fixture.
Yeah.
Jose going back to Stamford
Bridge. Yeah, I mean, he's going to prioritise that one, isn't he? Yeah, I would be fascinated to see what kind of tactical game plan he comes up with when he goes to Stamford Bridge. Yeah, the Fenerbahce one's the warm-up, really, isn't it? I mean, in the group phase, you can afford to drop the odd point here and there, which they have, haven't they, already? So there's like, I don't think it'll go crazy weak. I think it will play a strong-ish side in the Europa League, but ultimately the focus will be on that Chelsea game. And you wouldn't put it past him to go there and put out, you know, put in a shutout. It would be trademark Jose. I do think that he's in danger of looking old-fashioned, Jose. I really do. When you compare him with Klopp and Conte and the likes, dynamic young coaches, you never quite know what you're going to get with them. The football they're playing when they're on song is great to watch. With Jose, it's a little bit samey. Is he becoming yesterday's man? I think Jose needs to come up with something just to remind people how good a coach he is.
And it seems that Conte is almost building from a position of weakness. You know, there were all these rumours last week about, you know, him being out the door quite soon. He's now talking confidently about wanting four new players. He's bedding in that new system, the 3-5-2. Mm. What's your view of him, John?
Well, to me, that's what it all centres on. Because basically, I do think that Conte is playing hardball, and maybe people are kind of seizing on that. Will he get his wish? Is there a doubt that he'll get his wish? And maybe that's the thing. I think Conte is a world-class manager. I think the way that he dominated with Juventus was incredibly impressive, and they took Italy to new heights. But anyone can see that he's not going to be able to perform similar miracles with the current Chelsea squad. He needs, I think, two quality centre-halves. I do think he needs better attacking options, and he arguably needs something else in midfield.
He hasn't got the players.
I think no.
He hasn't got the players.
He needs a major rebuild. Yeah. I think if he can get top four, that would be a huge achievement for him.
They were never going to attract the same calibre of players that Chelsea believe they can attract because of the fact that they're not in Europe this season, that they have to get in the Champions League to attract the quality that they need to kick off.
Okay, final question. Very brief answers. Jose, will he win, lose or draw back at the Bridge?
I think he will have a shutout, and I think it will be a draw, and perhaps even a goalless draw, parking the bus.
Yeah, not a very exciting game. Actually, I think United could nick this. It could be a 1-0.
Well, I'll go for a win for Chelsea and the promise of a new era at the Bridge. Thanks for joining us here on the Football Writers Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.